This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It is National Signing Day. Again, we'll give you a comprehensive review on that tomorrow, even though we got the Coach Satterfield coming up next hour from Louisville. You'll see a bunch of coaches from the ACC on the network today throughout the course of the day. So that's that deal. We talked some hoops, a little football in hour number one. You mentioned Tim Bray's coming up here, the legend from Clemson and Notre Dame, really, for that matter, to talk just that game. But last night, Wes, the College Football Playoff Committee unveiled the latest round of the top 25. What we do know is that the Atlantic Coast Conference has more teams in the top 25 than any league in college football. You heard me right. I'm not stuttering.
Yep.
I'm telling you the facts. Again, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. The ACC's got 5. The Big Ten's got 4. Big 12's got 4. The SEC's got 4. Pac-12's got 2. American Athletic Conference has 2. Sun Belt's got 2. Got an independent thrown in there. Mountain Western Conference team, I believe, is in there. But the ACC's on top of the heap with 5 teams and 2 in the top 3. And Wes, 2 and 3 get after each other for a championship in Charlotte for the ACC title on Saturday. So from that perspective, ACC inventory-wise last night, it was a good night.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2, 3, 15, 18, and 22 are the lucky numbers for the ACC in the college football playoff top 25. Notre Dame and Clemson obviously on the collision course for Saturday. North Carolina moved up a couple spots to 15. Miami fell 8 spots to 18. And NC State, 22 in this week's college football playoff. Top 25. The impact and the implications on the rest of the poll spark with Saturday afternoon's ACC championship game pack. We've already kind of outlined in the first hour, and it's probably worth showing again, the with or without a win scenarios facing Clemson here. Because the percentage has changed, but also the landscape around the game. Because let's be honest, if Alabama, and some of it will play out after if Clemson were to lose. Tigers win, they got to feel pretty good about going for sure. But a loss, and then it starts getting pretty tenuous based on what may happen in Indianapolis, certainly what would happen in Atlanta, and maybe even some of these other ball games or teams that are just sitting there. A&M at 5 is just sitting there on Saturday waiting to kind of see what happens.
Can I just say something? I don't know what the All-State playoff predictor is. I wouldn't know it if it knocked on my front door with a box of pizzas. Can I just say that whatever those numbers are, let me give you the Packer playoff predictor. The team that wins that game.
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm going to give it to you because it's going to blow what we just threw on the screen off out of the water. The team that wins Saturday in Charlotte, Clemson or Notre Dame, has a 100% chance to make the playoffs. I don't want to hear about 59%, 90% nonsense. I'm calling BS on that, all right? And if the All-State playoff predictor guy in Bristol gets mad at me, I don't care. The team that wins that game has a 100% chance to make the playoffs. If Clemson beats Notre Dame, they're not dropping out of the top 4. If Notre Dame wins that game, they're not dropping out of the top 4. Those numbers are stupid. And I'm on record for saying that. They're stupid.
If Notre Dame loses the game Saturday, I'm not sure they drop out of the top 4 either.
I agree with that too. But I'm not put whatever percentage number you want on. But when I saw that graphic the first time, I just laughed. I mean, so Clemson at number 3 beats number 2 and they only have a 59% chance to make it? Excuse me? Clemson, listen, let me tell you how confident I am of that statement. Whoever wins that game Saturday, if the committee was made up of Greg Sankey's family, there's still a 100% chance that they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, can I make it any clearer than that? I mean, that's ridiculous. A 59%. The number three team beats the number two team. They got a 59% chance to make to be one of the top four. Just think how stupid that is. Sorry, Allstate. I know you paid good money for that, but that's ridiculous. I'll be completely transparent. That's ridiculous. I'll tell you how confident I am. I will bet a year's salary, whatever ESPN pays me.
Oh, boy.
Is how confident I am. ESPN pays me, plus the 49 cents that I owed Ortho Carolina for my visit back in 2005, which would gone bad for 15 years. I'll put whatever that amount is, I promise you the winner of that game will be in the top four of the college football playoff. I'll put that out there. That's how confident I am. It's impossible for the winner of Saturday's ACC championship game not to be in the college football playoff. It's impossible. I will eat kale for every meal for the rest of my life and give up bourbon if the winner of that game is not in the college football playoff.
Now, wait a second.
I will adopt a thousand. I will adopt
2 minutes.
I will adopt 1,000 cats for Chester and Fuller if the winner of the game Saturday is not in the college football playoff. I mean, can I make myself perfectly clear on how ridiculous that stat is?
Okay. Josh Macri produces this show.
Get out of here with that.
And Drew Brooks, the aforementioned Lumberjacks, produced this show. Was anybody taking notes of all the things that have just been offered?
Write it
a moment ago
in stone, blood, whatever you want. 50. You mean to tell me Clemson? Let's just say that Clemson beats Notre Dame by whatever Vegas thinks they're going to win by 10, 11, whatever it is. So they're going to drop from 3 to 5. I mean, just think about how stupid
that
is.
I got this right. All right. We started off with the year's salary.
Whatever it is. I don't even know what it is. Whatever ESPN pays me. And I know there's still people watching and listening going, you mean they actually pay that idiot to be on television and radio doing this? Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Okay. Then we also said that we would adopt
1,000
cats.
Yeah. They're running over the Packer banner. 1,000 Cliffords running around here.
All right.
If the winner of that game is not in the college football playoff. Winner is not in the college football playoff.
I understand. Yeah. And another point in there, we offered something else, and I lost track because I was still recovering from the fact that Greg Sankey's family was the college football playoff committee,
the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, who I respect a great deal, as you know. If his entire family was the committee, they would not kick out the winner of the Notre Dame-Clemson game in the college football playoff.
Yeah, that's it. That doesn't really fall into the category of the salary or 1,000 cats. There was one other thing.
Kale. I would eat kale and give up bourbon.
I'd
eat kale for life. Every meal. Every meal would be kale, and I'd give up bourbon for the rest of my life if the winner of that game is not in the college football playoff.
That's it. That's the one. Thank you.
I would buy LA Dodgers season tickets and attempt to go to them.
Wow.
And root for them if the winner of that game is not in the college football playoff. That's how.
Okay.
And so don't give me 59%. Right. If Clemson wins, there's a 59% chance. No, if Clemson wins, there's a 100% chance they're going to be in the playoff. If Notre Dame wins, it's not 99. No, it's 100% chance. Come on. That's just ridiculous. What else would you like to know about that stat?
I'm guessing that we don't want to try and have the All-State playoff predictor join the show.
I don't know who it is.
Just to kind of give us I don't know that I know either. I just figure there's somebody up there who hands a business card out and says, my name is blank, and I'm the All-State playoff predictor.
Whatever. I hope All-State's writing us a big check. That's a stupid number.
They are.
That's a stupid number. That's as stupid as Florida getting beat by a team that could fit into a school bus and coming in there as a 24-point dog and you only drop one spot. I mean, that's how ridiculous that is. Ridiculous. What else you want to know? What else would you like to know about the playoffs?
Here, which would, let me just ask you this very quickly. Of the four things you've offered here, which of these would stress you the most? The salary?
None of them.
Cats? The Kalen Bourbon or the Dodgers tickets?
None of them. None. You know what? None will stress me because it's not going to happen. An asteroid.
But if. Just if.
Hey, if is the biggest word in sports. I've told you that for how many decades? Haley's Comet.
280 let me tell you something. Television shows.
Haley's Comet, wherever it is in the universe, has a better chance of coming through this French door before the show ends than the winner of that game not being in the college football playoff. And that is just stupid. That is stupid. 59%. Why wasn't it 55%? I mean, what could have altered? I mean, could you just listen to that a second? I'm done beating that up. What else you got? I'm done beating that thing up.
I was going to ask you just, you know, kind of the plight of the back end of the top 10 here, but I think we've covered all that, so we're good.
Wait till this afternoon show.
I think we're good.
I'm being kind now.
All right. A couple of basketball games of note. Virginia Tech beat Clemson last night at Castle in Blacksburg. Tyrese Radford led the Hokies, who looked good, and bounced back clearly from their ACC Big Ten Challenge loss a week ago at home to Penn State. Mike Young's team has now won 7 of the last 8 against Clemson, obviously before he got there, but you know what I mean. And then the second ball game last night, Florida State looked like Florida State. Scotty Barnes sparked a second-half run for the Noles, and they beat Georgia Tech last night in Tallahassee. The final there was 74-61. Tonight, the headliner in the ACC is Duke and Notre Dame. And as Pac told you earlier in hour one, Blue Devils are without Jalen Johnson tonight for the 9 o'clock start on ESPN. Bob Beschus and Dick Vitale, by the way, have the call for us. The Blue Devils on the road to see a Notre Dame team that, you know what, lost in overtime to Ohio State, but may have found some things at the win Saturday against Kentucky at Rupp Arena, Pac.
All about making shots, isn't it, Notre Dame? Hey, we saw them with a nice lead against Ohio State. Couldn't hold it. Lost it at home. Saw them with a 33-9 lead against Kentucky. About blew that thing. So, you know, from that perspective, they got to tighten up on that end. But the Irish can make shots. And when they do, they're tough. And I just worry about Duke. I mean, yep. You take Jalen Johnson out of the lineup, where are the points coming from, Wes? I mean, when that Duke team comes out, are you worried about them in terms of, hey, you know what, they blow us out of the gym here? Now, they may go up there and beat Notre Dame's brains in, for all I know. I have no idea. That's why we watch and enjoy all this stuff. But I'm concerned about Duke. What I've seen so far, that is not what is normally the standard that we see with Duke basketball. They've got some talented young kids. But as Kay said the other day on his radio show on SiriusXM, kind of looking for their identity. Maybe they find it on the road tonight. We'll see. But so far, I think they're still looking.
And Pitt Miami is also on the calendar for tonight. And the reason I bring it up is probably want to keep an eye on Justin Champagne tonight. He's had 20 or more points and 20 or more rebounds in back-to-back games. He's the first ACC player to do it since 1997 when Tim Duncan did it. So probably want to keep an eye tonight on Champagne as Pittsburgh visits Miami. So
and also
we got all that for you.
And also keep an eye on Miami scholarship players. We told you on Monday they only had 6 scholarship players over the weekend. They are really banged up. And so I think really Pitt's catching Miami probably at the perfect time just because it seems like Jim Larrañaga is playing with both hands tied behind his back right now.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We got football, we got some basketball, men's and women's, and we're going to bring in the ACC Women's Player of the Week, Wes. We've had a lot of international flavor on the show. You know, that's the one thing I've liked. I always like student athletes, but we got a lot of international flavor in the league. And Lotemai Lautanen now joins us from Georgia Tech, and she is rocking and rolling, coming from Finland, and there she is. All right, Lautamai, first of all, we appreciate you getting up and joining us this morning, and congratulations to the very, very quick start. You're playing great basketball.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure being here.
So before we get into hoops, I just want to ask you one thing. Right before, just totally, we'll get to the basketball in a second. But, you know, down there in Atlanta, I figure it's a little chilly this morning. We got a little ice and cold here. But coming from Finland in Helsinki, what would it be like in Helsinki right now in the middle of December? What would we expect in Helsinki?
Cold, most likely snow. I wish there is snow. It would be really pretty now during Christmas, so pretty cold.
I bet. So it's kind of like balmy for you now in ATL, right? I mean, that transition should be like, oh, man, this is like, what are you guys complaining about? This is nothing. Like springtime in Finland.
Yeah, basically.
All right, let's get to hoops. Let's get to hoops.
Yeah. Lotemai, what's the two wins over Boston College and on the road at Notre Dame? I mean, I know there was disappointment after the initial loss of the season, but what does it mean to be able to start the ACC season with a couple of wins like that?
I mean, it's huge. I think we're playing really well right now. This week we've had huge wins over Notre Dame and Boston College, and I'm just really proud of the team and the way we've grown during the season and got two tough wins this week, so I'm really happy about that. It's important to start ACC with two good wins.
So what's it like being the first women's Yellow Jacket basketball player to be ACC Player of the Week in 3 years? That's pretty strong.
I mean, I'm really grateful about that. This is a tough league. There's a lot of good players. Proud of the team, the way we've been playing, and just really proud to be a part of it and get this honor this week. So I'm grateful.
Pac mentioned coming from Finland to play. Georgia Tech has got, you're not the only player from an international country that is playing at Georgia Tech. We all know Francesca Pond was there. You still got two or three teammates, I think, that are international as well. What's that influence like with a school that is so internationally based like Georgia Tech? Is that one of the reasons that it kind of worked out for you to be a part of the program there?
Yes. I mean, all the opportunities at Georgia Tech internationally and also here locally in Atlanta, I'm really comfortable in our team, not only because of international, but also because the whole team, our Americans are amazing. I think we're really one team, although we have a lot of diversity, and I think that's one of our biggest strengths. So that's why I love our team, and I'm really comfortable here at Atlanta. It's my home.
You know, you competed with the national team over the summer. What's that experience like compared to an ACC basketball game?
Well, it's different. I think the game internationally, there's, of course, older players with a lot of experience, so you have to play smart there. Also, you have to play smart here. I think ACC is very physical. The game in Europe is probably a little bit faster. But other than that, I think both are basketball, and you have to be ready for both and be physical in both places.
I know that scoring sometimes gets you things like Player of the Week, but you lead the league in steals. What kind of pride do you take at the defensive end of the floor?
I take a lot of pride in defense. I actually like defense more than offense because I think that's hustling, and that's the battle that I like. You can maybe control defense a little bit more than you can control offense. You can control your effort. So it's just staying focused and staying ready all the time. So, yeah. I like defense.
I want to go back to the international game versus what you see on a weekly basis here in the league. You mentioned that the international game is faster. How does that help you make that transition to play here in the States? It's got to help.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably internationally, you have to be like ready all the time on the court. Obviously here too, we run a lot of transition with our Finnish national team, which also our coach Nell wants us to play, which I think we're really good at right now. So I think that's one thing that I can bring from the international courts here to play more transition game and just play quicker and win opponents that way over here.
You guys, it's interesting. You're 4-1. The only loss is in overtime against Georgia. But now the ACC season has started. What's the win at Notre Dame obviously sparked. I mean, you guys played great against Boston College, but to get the road win at Notre Dame, now with this holiday semester break and all the things going on to just try and play basketball, what's this? How important is this part of the year for your team, you think?
Very important. I think this is the part where we grow and we keep learning. Obviously, we had a tough loss against Georgia, which I think just made us stronger and let us grow and learn more. You know, we have a young team, which I'm really proud of our freshmen and newcomers. I think we've been working hard and we're one team and just got better every day and every week. So I think this part of the season is really important going on to the spring semester and keep playing well as a team.
Ledema, I want to go back to Finland. I've never been to Finland. Our family kicked around the idea. We went to Amsterdam a couple years ago, and I was like, man, we make a road trip up to Finland, maybe go to Sweden or something like that. So if I went to Helsinki, and you're going to go take me out somewhere to eat, what would be the go-to? Well, what are we doing in Helsinki as far as food goes? What's your favorite?
Oh, well, if you want to be a little touristy, you could go have some reindeer meat. With lingonberry jam. Yeah, it's really good.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
It's Christmas time. I don't want to have reindeer meat during Christmas time.
We can go after Christmas.
All right, forget
you don't feel that bad.
Wait a minute. Forget the touristy thing a second. You're just going to say, Pat, come on. We're going to go to my favorite place to eat. Where are we going and what are we ordering? And I hope it's not reindeer meat. What are we going to do?
Okay, then you're coming to our house, and okay, we're having some Finnish casseroles. My grandma makes the best.
Now, what is that? What's that tied into? What do we got?
It's a nose.
So one of our traditional casseroles is cabbage casseroles.
Okay, cabbage.
Oh, they can't see me.
Cabbage.
No, we got you.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
We got you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
So we got cabbage casserole. All right, so what's the deal with that?
Yes.
Why is that
cabbage
so great?
Cabbage casserole.
I mean, it's cabbage, and then there's some meat in it. And yeah, I'm not like the cooker of the family. I just enjoy eating it.
Me too.
So that is one traditional food. And there's a lot. We eat a lot of pots and meat and
okay.
In our home. So
when you're in Atlanta at Georgia Tech, is there anything in Atlanta that's where you go, hey, you know what? I'm really missing home. Now, there's not quite like, you know, I need something that reminds me of Helsinki. Is there somewhere you go in Atlanta to kind of get, quote unquote, home cooking? Or is that impossible?
Well, I go to IKEA. So wink, wink to Atlanta to like get a Finnish restaurant over here. There's a lot of ask for that.
So we go to IKEA for Swedish meatballs. Is that what we're doing? Seriously?
Exactly. And yeah, and some what is it? There's some good bread in IKEA too that I love.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, the reindeer meat scared me off a little bit. I got to be honest with you. I'm trying to get in the holiday spirit and reindeer meat just floored me with that answer. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's okay. We don't eat it much.
What's the one thing? Yeah, what's the one thing in the United States that everybody in Finland wants to know if you've had, or what's the one thing you've eaten in the United States or place you've been or something like that that you want to take back to Finland?
Well, let me think. Well, your candy is really good. Can't lie. Can't eat it that much, but I always try to bring some little treats back home when I go. So.
All right, I got to ask you this question. Awesome. We ask this to every student athlete that appears on the show. Lot of mine, what has been the hardest class you've had at Georgia Tech?
Oh, man. It must have been chemistry my freshman year. That was one of the hardest. I hadn't taken chemistry since my freshman year of high school, so it took me a minute to get on track with that. So.
Yeah. I can understand that. Well, listen, stay away from the reindeer meat and continue your good play because you're off to a great start and so is your team. And as you mentioned, the league's really good. We know about Louisville and NC State and Syracuse in the top 25. And, man, there's a bunch of teams ready to jump in that list too. And we wish you the very best and happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you too.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Trevor will not be able to play. You just have to have the next guy ready to go.
Clemson for the lead. Etienne into the end zone. Hook on the rolling. Throws end zone. Touchdown.
This game has been everything we thought it would be.
We head to overtime number two.
Kyren Williams scores again. It is over. And the Irish have knocked off number one Clemson.
We're not celebrating because we showed the world or we changed the narrative. We did it because we proved something to ourselves.
Biggest game in ACC football history, hopefully, will take place Saturday in Mecklenburg County, Charlotte, North Carolina, Bank of America Stadium. Number 2, Notre Dame. Number 3, Clemson. And a guy that is connected at the hip at both institutions, an ACC legend indeed, and former roommate, Tim Beray joins us on Packer and Durham. How about that for an intro?
Love it. Love it. Great to see you guys.
By the way, congratulations.
You know,
Herb Street on Saturdays taking helicopters and jets and barely makes it in time for Miami, North Carolina kickoff. And here you are zipping in from Blacksburg at 3 a.m. or whatever it is. Bags under eyes, will travel, and you make the show. You are a true, true professional.
Well, fortunately, I didn't have to do all the driving yesterday. Ben Milstead, our producer, did. So I'm ready, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah, as usual. Yeah. True pro.
All right, Tim, biggest game in ACC football history, yes?
Yeah, I think so. When you put things in the playoff era, the playoff era means so much more to, you know, a direct path to the playoff. Biggest game involving two teams that are currently in the ACC. Well, you think of back-to-back games in 1993 before Notre Dame was in the league, before Boston College was in the league, but that Notre Dame Florida State game in 93. And then following week, of course, Boston College defeated the Irish. But for a true ACC game for me would be the 81 Clemson North Carolina game when the Tigers were ranked second and North Carolina was ranked eighth. Everything was on the line in those days. And of course, the Tigers won that game 10-8 and went on to win the national championship. Obviously, they don't win the national championship without winning that game.
Tim, the first game, and I know Dabo Swinney was spot on with the assessment. We got our tails kicked in the trenches. And you know what? If I'm Notre Dame, why would you change anything? Hey, we're big up front. We're really good on both sides of the line of scrimmage. We like to run the ball. We got an experienced quarterback. Hey, it's great that Trevor's back. Hey, it's great that Tyler Davis wants to play. Skalski, Jones, all those guys that didn't make the first go around. If I'm Notre Dame, there's no need to change the equation. 10 times they've lined up playing that way, 10 times they've won it, and they know they can beat Clemson. So why get cute if you're Notre Dame in this game?
Yeah, on the one hand, you're exactly right. I mean, they've kind of had the same formula, all year. They've done a great job running the ball. They have a terrific offensive line, and their defense has been able to stop the run. But you know that from a Notre Dame standpoint, you got to figure that Clemson's going to make a few changes, and Clemson will be a different team on defense with the players that should be available for that game. You know, in that last drive when Notre Dame went 91 yards, you know, a couple of plays, I looked out there and saw some numbers of Clemson players, and I didn't know who they were. So that last drive, you know, there were five Clemson starters who were out. So that'll have an impact. And but you're right. I don't think Notre Dame's going to change certainly what they do offensively.
Hey, Tim, more important in the game this week, Trevor Lawrence or Tyler Davis?
Well, if you want to make a comparison to the last game, you know, I don't know that Trevor's going to throw for many more yards than Nui Ungalale did. But I would have to say Tyler Davis. We are a different team when Tyler Davis is up front. So with a healthy Tyler Davis and Brzee and Miles Murphy, you know, I like how Clemson looks defensively. You know, Notre Dame had over 500 yards in that game. And that's a lot of yards against the Clemson defense. It only gives up 303. So I think Tyler Davis can probably make a big difference along with a healthy Skalski.
All right. I'm going to go off the beaten path here just a second. And I'm going to ask you two questions, Tim. And the answer is either 0% anywhere up to 100%. If Notre Dame wins the game Saturday, what percent would you say it is for Notre Dame to make the college football playoff if they win?
100.
Okay. If Clemson wins the game Saturday, what percentage would you say for Clemson to make the college football playoff?
100.
Correct. That's all I got. It's yours, defense. It's all yours. Defense rest.
Tim, just so you know, in the preceding moments before you joined us on this show, your former roommate has said that if the winner of the game does not make the college football playoff, he will do all four of the following things, okay? Number one, he will surrender a year's salary from the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network.
Whatever that number is.
Number two, he will adopt 1,000 cats. Okay? Number three, he will eat kale
every
meal the rest of his life and give up bourbon.
Well, those would be the two hardest hardships I can think of for Pack.
He's not done yet, Tim.
Wait. Number four, he will buy Dodgers season tickets and go to games and root for them.
You're right. That tops the kale. Yeah. Without a doubt. Now, you know, Pack, I'm sure, is aware of the historical problem from that, and that, you know, the Dodgers last won the World Series in championship.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, Tim froze. But Tim's point is spot on. I know he froze. We'll get him back. But 88 is the last year the Dodgers had won the World Series. They won it this year, and keep in mind the Lakers won it in 88 as well. And lo and behold, you know what happened this year. So, you know, crazy things come in threes. But the whole All-State football FPI playoff predictor, if Clemson wins, 59% chance to make the playoffs is laughable. That's laughable. I will ask you this, Tim. I'm not a gambler, as you well know. But are you surprised that the smart folks in Vegas – have them as a Clemson is a double-digit favorite in this game? That seems like just a crazy number to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I guess they look at all the defensive players that were out for Clemson, especially on the last, you know, the last drive, you know, when Notre Dame took the ball over at the 9-yard line, had to go 91 yards against Brent Venables' defense. And they did. And, you know, but there were so many Clemson guys out. Probably the biggest guy that was out on last drive was Nolan Turner, got hurt on it. And right. You know, big play of that drive was a 53-yard pass right where Nolan Turner would have been.
Tim, I'm going to change gears here for a minute because there's been a conversation I've gotten involved in occasionally here in the last couple of weeks, and I want to use your expertise in publicity and promotion on this. Trevor Lawrence misses a couple of ball games, including the Notre Dame game, the first time around. And magically, he kind of falls out of conversation for the Heisman Trophy. Now, statistically, he's having an outstanding year. But take me through why, in the world we're in today, he's as good a choice for the Heisman Trophy as really anybody there. I mean, yeah, Mac Jones had a good year. Kyle Trask had a good year. Justin Fields has played five great games, whatever the case may be. But has Trevor Lawrence backed up on something that I'm not aware of and all of a sudden fallen from grace on this deal?
Yeah, you're right. You know, there's two ways to look at things. You look at totals, and you look at per game or per play or whatever. But you know, some of the players, the Alabama quarterback, the Florida quarterback, have some higher numbers because you're right. Trevor has missed some time, and he's only played in the fourth quarter in four of the games that he's played in. But I think if he has an outstanding game, Clemson wins. You know, a lot of it is with the Heisman voters is, what have you done for me lately? And more voters, I think, will vote Sunday after the last game. You know, historically, there are some Southern Cal players who have had big games against Notre Dame right at the end of the season, and it's launched them into winning the Heisman Trophy. Carson Palmer certainly comes to mind in 2002, and, you know, that was the record for most yards passing against Notre Dame. Before Uiagalelei had 439, Palmer had 425 in 2002, and then he kind of jumped in and won the Heisman that year.
Tim, two-part question again. Clemson wins the game if Notre Dame wins the game if?
Well, historically, in the five meetings between the two games, turnovers have been all the difference in the world. The team that's won the turnover margin in the previous five meetings is 5-0, and they have a combined plus 14 in turnover margin. So that has been, without a doubt, the big factor. Obviously, the first meeting, the fumble that was returned for a touchdown by Notre Dame was a huge factor in a game that that went to overtime. You know, you would think Clemson has to run the ball better than it did. Had only 34 yards rushing. You know, you would think they'd have to get to 100, something like that. Notre Dame's going to win the game if they have the same success that they had in terms of converting on third down. You know, one of the keys in Clemson wins this year have been, you know, games when there's been a lot of possession, a lot of at-bats, as Tommy Bowden used to call them. If Notre Dame can continue to possess the ball, that'll make a big difference towards them winning. And Ian Book's escapability is important. Has Brent Venables come up with a plan to keep him from stepping up in the pocket, either to pass or to pick up 8-9 yards every time he scrambles and gets a first down?
You expect it to be close?
Yeah, I think it will be. I think it will be close. Yeah, I think. Maybe a little lower scoring. I mean, it was 33-33 for regulation the first meeting. I think it might be a little lower scoring this time.
Can't wait, man. Again, I think it's the biggest game in the history of the league. Two against three, everything at stake, not only just a championship, but also can you get to that college football playoff? The winner wins, they're in. The loser could actually still be in, too. We'll see how all this stuff plays out, but, man, it'll be some kind of scene. Just a shame we can't have 70,000 people there to watch it, but – hey, COVID's done that to everybody all year. So just hopefully, knock on wood, we get this game on Saturday afternoon. But, Tim, always a pleasure, man. Get some rest and safe travels up the Dixie Highway. We'll see you this weekend.
We'll see you. Great to be with you guys.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Satterfield, head football coach of your Louisville Cardinals, is coming up at the top of the hour. And we'll keep it in a Louisville theme because Luke Hancock will also join us in the Power Hour, talk a little hoops. So a Louisville flavor coming up, 9 a.m. And I think Louisville flavor, I think one ice cube. But nevertheless, yesterday, the newly named commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips, joined us. I thought he was great. And it was really a chance for a lot of ACC fans to see and hear what he has to say, what he's about, what personality. I thought we kind of got into all that stuff with him. I thought he was tremendous. And again, before we get into more Jim Phillips stuff, I just want to emphasize again, you know, John Swofford is still the commissioner of the league, and there's still some business to attend to, including this humongous game this weekend. And I know we'll spend some time between now and February, Wes, regarding what Commissioner Swofford has accomplished, because he has been sensational for the league. And it has not been easy when you start talking about expansion and the lay of the land and everything else that's going on, the establishment of this ACC network, which is on his watch. His accomplishments as a student, as an athletic director, as a commissioner, as Jim Phillips pointed out, his legacy in this league, well-documented, well-earned, and he's done a tremendous job. So I know it's kind of a crazy time for him during this transition. And he can see the finish line and get ready to go really, really enjoy life. He and Nora and everybody else. But I just want to emphasize that because we're going to be talking a lot about Jim Phillips, but John Swofford's really done an amazing job for this conference.
Absolutely. And I think his legacy is it's got some long lines to it now. I mean, when you think about the connection he had in this league, not only as a student athlete, but then obviously someone that worked for Gene Cargan, who later became the commissioner, following Cargan in 1997, and now stepping away here in February of 2021, it's just a remarkable run for John Swofford, and we look forward to future visits with him in his administration, and maybe postscript as well, but also some other things. Well, maybe a long conversation. Hope we get a chance to talk and look back at a little bit of what he went through, because the late Southeastern Conference Commissioner Mike Slive told me several years ago that sometimes the groundbreaking stuff, the landmark stuff, requires a lot more detail years out. You know, you get to the end and it's the big announcement, right? But it's all the details that go into the big announcement and those bonds and the teamwork that's involved. I think, and I said this kind of yesterday to someone, I think the legacy, part of John Swofford's legacy is what we're seeing right now. Because, Mark, think about the number of people that we have visited with on this show and that you and I have talked to with individually over the course since, June, that to a person have said, well, if it weren't for the commissioner, we wouldn't be doing this. His leadership through this has made this possible. And I'm not just talking about football, which has obviously been successful, but all the sports, the athletic competitions that have been staged and are currently being staged. And if this ends up being a great banner year for ACC football, which indications are it has a chance to be, think about how fortunate we're going to be to have had John Swofford's leadership through this.
Yeah, and again, I think this is going to be a seamless transition. I just thought that Jim Phillips, with some of the things he discussed yesterday with us, and the big picture that he totally gets, I can't emphasize enough. I think this was a home run hire by the ACC.
Well, our visit with Jim Phillips was it was good. Now, he's got a lot going on, obviously, because the school he's representing is playing for the Big Ten Championship on Saturday night, but we asked him about what the ACC represents in the world of college athletics.
I just think the ACC represents what's right in college sports. Again, these incredible institutions based on academics, Research One institutions, medical centers attached to the institutions, and then competition at the highest level. And I'm just going to say the ACC doesn't play second fiddle to any conference in the country. And I think that's something that's going to be important for us to make sure that we understand, and we're going to do everything we can to back those words up. And we're going to make sure that we continue to keep our eye on those student athletes and the experiences that they're having across 15 campuses.
Can't emphasize it enough. Just, I think it's just a perfect fit for the league. Really do.
So great to have Jim Phillips here. However, Pack, we were called on the carpet. Well, I shouldn't say we, me, called on the carpet yesterday, social media. I got called on the carpet by Ben Swain, who was a local regional media personality. When Ben said, I let Jim Phillips off easy. Whenever someone new moves to North Carolina, you always ask them to pick between being a Duke fan or a Carolina fan. There's some truth in that, Ben. But there was no way we were going to do that yesterday.
No. Maybe Ben, you know what? Maybe Ben can do it when he has his interview with the new commissioner.
There you go. There you go, Ben. Chalk right up. Step Ben, right up.
Tag
your
That'll
be hilarious.
You
the boys
take
at Sports
man.
Channel 8 get all that assed out. That'll be good.
Yeah, there you go.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.